divisions. So, like in Genesis, excuse me, God separates the light from the dark. He separates the dry land from the water, the order from the chaos. Jesus talks about the sheep being separated from the goats. And in today's reading, he even talks about the members of the same family being divided into two groups, three against two, two against three. Now, this is not all that unfamiliar to us, but we should, and we really should recognize the goodness of such an act, even if at first glance it sounds rather damaging or destructive. But we know that there's good things here, because we divide cancer cells from healthy cells, and we try to get the cancer cells out. We separate the edible parts of food from the inedible parts of food, or from the poisonous parts of those of plants. We separate the quality building materials from the inferior ones. Because if we don't, whatever we build could fall over. Parents do the same thing when they tell their children that they can't hang out with a particular other person or child because they're a bad influence. I heard it when I was a kid, I know. If only every child had parents so discerning and careful. Even in marriage, there's an act of division. I choose this person, this man, this woman to be my spouse, and nobody else. This person is different, separated from everybody else, at least according to me, you know. I leave my own father and mother and I cling to my wife. It's a bit of a division. So division can be very good, even if it's difficult. I read an interesting article this week, and it mentioned, I guess, a fact that I once learned but forgot. Hernán Cortés, the Spanish conquistador of Central America and conqueror of the Aztecs, when he landed in Mexico, arriving from Spain, he sank his own ships, just sank them, so that he and his men could not go back. They couldn't return to Spain. They had no choice but to carry out their mission there in order to, if they wanted to survive. The temptation to run away had to be removed. The ships had to be sunk. The temptation had to be removed so that they could focus on what they were to do. Now, I'm not saying that what they did as conquerors of peoples was a good thing. I'm focused on the technique here, okay? That's the only thing. But they had to divide themselves from Spain. They just, we're not going back. Chop it off. Cut the umbilical cord. But if you want a more Christian example, I'll give you this one. Saints Marianne Cope and Damien of Molokai. You guys know who I'm talking about. They were the missionaries to the leper colonies in Hawaii. In order to fully take care of the lepers, the two of them, Father Damien and Sister Marianne, they had to join them to such an extent that they had to be willing to not be able to go back, to not be able to go back home. I mean, Marianne was from Syracuse here, and going out to Hawaii to take care of lepers. Once you join with the lepers and live with them, you could catch it. You very well might catch it. And once you join them, they're a separated group for the sake of everyone else's health. There's no going back to Syracuse. Missionaries the world over had to be willing to do this, even if they weren't going to help out with lepers colonies, because they had to be willing to go and not come back. There was none of this easy travel around the world that we have today that makes the world actually quite small. You go and you don't come back. Who saw the film a few weeks ago that we showed, Heart of Nuba? It was a documentary. Was anyone there with me? There's one. Okay, there's a film called Heart of Nuba. It's a very recent film. It's a documentary about a doctor who's actually from Amsterdam, who works and lives in this little community called Nuba in South Sudan. The documentary follows this doctor as he goes there, and he just doesn't get to come back whenever he wants. He goes there and he lives there. And here's the thing, he's got maybe the financial resources to be able to, but he rarely comes back. He's got this moral imperative. I must do this. I must be a doctor here for these people in this poor, war-torn land. His life doesn't allow for that sort of leisure. So, there are things that we all must do for our salvation. Jesus wants us to take a side, and we can't have it both ways. There's no making compromises here. With the cancer, let's take out half the tumor. No, that doesn't make any sense. It's all or nothing here. It's life or death. even that first reading with Jeremiah, they said, let's kill Jeremiah. He's bad for the community. He's just bad for this. He has a message he has to bring, sent by God. The king doesn't want him doing his work. There's no compromise here. Either he's guilty and he needs to be killed or imprisoned, or he's innocent and he should be let go. But there's no, like, let's let him do his thing for 3 days, and then we'll do our thing for 4 days a week, and then we'll just go on with that sort of a schedule forever. No. God sent him on a mission. He does it all the time, or he doesn't do it at all. We wouldn't want that for any sort of, you know, person who belongs in jail because they're a danger to society, some sort of, like, serial killer or something. We wouldn't say, well, but he really wants to be free, so maybe we could let him do his thing for, like, 3 days a week, and then he could be in jail for the other 4 days a week, and we can just, you know, alternate like this. No! There's no compromising here! Take a side! Side with Jesus and his life of heaven against the world's ways of violence and sin and imperfection and corruption. Side with virtue against vice. Side with good against evil. Avoid the sin, and even the near occasion of sin. And if doing all of this means that you don't get along with your brother or with your mother, well then so be it. Now I know that Jesus often uses hyperbole, common literary technique, to stress his important points. I mean, he tells the disciples, oh, pluck out your eyeballs if they're going to sin, or cut off your hand. Yes, he uses hyperbole, but this should not distract us from the gravity of what Jesus is teaching here in this reading today. He really did mean that his disciples had to put God above everything else, including money and family. James and John left their father with the fishing business and went and followed Jesus. The point that Jesus is making is that following him is a call to an adventure, a really different adventure, and it necessitates a radical decision from which there is no turning back. And we see this, like with James and John. They left their fishing nets, they left their livelihood, they left their father when they were called by Jesus. So when we answer Jesus' call to this adventure by saying yes and choosing his side, then sometimes we have to burn our bridges and sink our ships. Sometimes only metaphorically, sometimes literally. When we choose this side and we do not try to turn back or try to mix it with some other mission or some other beliefs, but really just say, I'm on your side, Jesus, then that flame in our hearts that has been put there by Jesus when we were baptized, that can be fostered, it can be grown, it can grow into the blaze that Jesus came here to kindle, so that the world can be set on fire.